mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Luke, the 15th chapter. In the 17th verse, where we read these words, when he came to his senses, and the rest, you know what happened. When he repented, and you know what followed that. So, we focus on this beautiful, beautiful parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the first words that I should tell you is, relax. You are okay. You're just fine. God does not look for perfection in his children, but sincerity of heart. It is a contrite heart that breaks God's heart. He loves a broken spirit. A spirit that is troubled, that is in turmoil, in need for peace. A spirit that is drawn to God to receive from God the gifts that he specializes in giving us. Gifts that bring peace to the heart and life to the soul. Those things you cannot acquire anywhere else but from your Father in heaven. And Jesus is so pointedly positive that the Father will never, ever reject anyone that crawls to him for mercy. Someone said that the greatest prayer that you and I can ever pray is, Lord, have mercy. Because when the Lord have mercy, the rest all falls in place. And you and I pray this prayer at God's request and even command. Come upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. And Jesus puts out his hands and says, come unto me, all you who are overburdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What part of that verse don't we get? In a hymn in which we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and sins to bear, and later on we say, oh, what futile pain we bear. Futile, needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The Father is not waiting in his office chair, rocking gently back and forth, smoking his pipe. The Father is anxiously looking down the road. When will he come back? And when he sees it as a distance, he lunges towards his son and puts the best on him. A new robe, a new ring, and new sandals. And then he proceeds to have a party with the whole of his great family and all of his staff. That's the picture that the Lord Jesus paints of our Father in heaven. We can come to him because we are his legitimate children. Jesus uses an earthly story, a father with two sons. Although we can hardly imagine how rude that younger son was by saying, since you have not yet croaked, and I have still to wait for a while before you sign it over to me, why don't you just do it now? That's as rude as a child can get. Right there he breaks the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. But he doesn't care because he is into himself. He is looking after number one and not after anything else, not even minding his faith or walking or even trying to walk in God's ways. He just makes up his own rules. Hey, old man, what about it? And the father gives in to his son, as we fathers often do. Father in the story, in this parable, is clearly God, our Father in heaven. The two sons are us. And there are two types of sons in every family, also in God's family. The sons that sustain the family and the household, and those that don't. Those that could care less. Those that go away. But then one day, they might be coming back. What's the bum doing here now? Now he wants to get married. Now she needs a church and a pastor. Now they know where to find one. But where were there? Where were they the last 5 years that we haven't seen him here? Oh, now she is expecting a baby. And so eventually they want to have the baby baptized. Now they need a church. Now they come back. Isn't that typical of our thinking? Should we not rather truly be grateful to be used by God the Father in heaven, the Holy Triune God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier, the Holy Trinity, to have a chance to serve this God, to do this God's bidding? That's a privilege, that's special. That's not for anyone. He employs us in sustaining the ministry among us. And if you have ever suffered hunger or had to put off buying new clothes and had to wear clothes with holes in them because you gave your money to sustain the church, raise your hand right now. You see, you and I have the privilege to sustain the church. This is precious. This is what life is all about. Not about squandering the money and letting others do the work. Those people are the most miserable because what they have is limited. They won't last very long. And when it's gone, they'll come back. Because here, they get fed. They have bread in abundance. Here they are reincorporated into the family of God that says, I'll take care of you. Not only your physical needs, but especially those nagging thoughts that a guilty conscience produces at night when you try to be sleepy. The conscience says, you are guilty. How can you sleep? How can you live with yourself? All of that is cleaned by the Father when He hugs us, when we come back to Him. By grace, none of ours. That's why I say relax. The Father isn't looking for perfection in us, for righteousness, for holiness, just for sincerity of heart. Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. Receive me back into your fold. My brother and I had one big discussion once. A philosopher said, I think, therefore I am Sartre. And I said, you know, Lot, that at the basis of every wrong decision we make is thinking. He said, yeah, and some make worse mistakes in their decisions than others. He never really forgave me for moving so far away from him. And some decisions are worse than others. There is now doubt. And because we can think in abstract terms, we have to make decisions, and we do. And some of these decisions are terribly wrong. But the chances of the decisions being wrong are greatly decreased if we just say, could you check this out, please, to our Father in heaven? What am I missing here? Is this okay? And He is a God of light, not of darkness and confusion. He He guides us through the way of life for the asking. After all, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? Martin Luther said, He calls, gathers, enlightens, educates, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, just as the Father created us, sustains us, and the Son died for us, redeemed us, forgives our sins, and commands His army of angels to protect us. He fights for us upon the plain with His good gifts and spirit, said Martin Luther in his hymn. Because we make mistakes, God sent the Savior. There is no other reason. If we were all goody-goody two-shoes, we wouldn't need a Savior. The first question of our catechumens that they are asked on the Sunday of the examination, which is the Sunday of their confirmation now, is this. What is the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God to make us aware of our sin and to point us to a Savior. In other words, to bring salvation to us. God gave us the Bible and He gave us His Son to save us. Now the older brother's behavior of the two sons is even worse than the first one. You could equate the first one sins of the flesh and the second one sins of the spirit, of the soul. When the soul is bitter, when the soul thinks of him or herself more than they ought to, when the person thinks this is all about me, watch out. Watch out, because God wants us to think that He is the center of our life. It's all about God and our relationship with God as we walk and serve one another in humility and not to help ourselves. So when the older son comes in from the field craning his neck saying, what's happening? Your brother came back and he says, what does the bum want here now? And he goes and checks it with the father. How can you do this? Have you ever thrown a party for me? And the father said, you didn't need one. You have it much better. But that older son just could not see it. He refused to come and join the party. I hope that you and I learned this lesson in the cheap way. By that I mean not going through it and experience it in our own lives ourselves by shunning anyone that wants back into the church, but by welcoming them, because this is our Father's house and not our own little empire. Compassion is a mark of the Christian. Christ had compassion on us. We have compassion on one another. We don't judge. We don't measure or evaluate. We love. We serve in compassion. It's the Lord that calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us. For that reason, we are just His helpers to bring His people in. We are to open the doors of the church and make sure that they are open so that those that want to wander back in have absolutely no obstacle. You get the privilege this is to serve our God and to see eternal results for a physical and temporary and chronological work that we are able to do here. This is as good as it gets on this side of paradise. Until that day, may God guide us and bring many more erring sons and daughters back to Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.